Welcome to Mistdone Needs More Games, where we create the latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I am your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Woohoo! Another, I guess I said this last time, but maybe it's just become our norm of another late-night recording. Later-night recording.
Earlier in the day, I was thinking about that, how this is now our normal time of recording, and I was thinking, is Nick going to keep saying that every single time that we record after? It's like, boy, look at the time. It's late, and where you hit the record button?
Well, I mean, you know, because we're working late, you know? We're putting in those extra hours. We're getting those board games out. We're really putting in the work to increase this company's just plethora, the library of amazing board games available to the customers.
The abundance of them. I think, yeah. And some people may say that Mistdone doesn't let us leave. Some people may say that Mistdone doesn't trust our work. Some people may say as well that we have someone else here in the studio tonight to help us record that, because Mistdone has sent them over to us so we can get some additional creative juices flowing. Hey, would you like to introduce yourself here?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love that. My name is Brian. I work down a few floors in the intellectual property library management department. So what I do is I manage our incredible portfolio of intellectual property and ideas from the many, many years that we've been active here at Patch Potch. So I have access to all the little buried nuggets, you know, all the little ideas that we've copyrighted in the past that, you know, we're free to bring back anytime we want.
That's wow. Crazy. Because
I like that. Yeah,
we have so many interesting and new concepts and ideas that we have here. So to have someone actually in the studio with us who would have all that different knowledge it's great, because I lose track often about how many like just IPs that we have.
Did you know, for example, that many years ago we released a board game? It was called Upside Down Town, and it was a board game that you had to play on the ceiling.
Oh, that sounds about right. Yeah, I get that.
That's a very Patch Potch of us to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I imagine this game probably has a bunch of straps and, like, glue and stuff, and, like, you have to, like, I guess get your chairs up there somehow?
Yes, absolutely. It was, there was a lot of accoutrement that was included with Upside Down Town that I think in today's environment would probably not be considered strictly safe. But at the time, there were less regulations on board games. The United States Department of Board Game Regulation had not been established yet. Those damn feds, you know.
I was gonna say this sounds like this was a Trump era board game where
that dang USDRB.
Yeah, that's right. This sounds like when he. If I'm recalling it correctly, he lifted the ban on extreme board games, allowing everyone to get really extreme and you make bank games.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think that it's a lot of board game aficionados are not aware the long history of extreme board gaming that is in the United States and worldwide, because there are a lot of board game companies that are going to try to keep this information from you. There are some extreme games that have been scrubbed from the web, in fact, that I have access to that I am legally not allowed to share specifically from Patch Potch. But I consider myself something of a collector of interesting board game knowledge. So I also have some IP from the past of some of the more extreme and in some cases even theoretical gaming that might involve human death or fornication. There's lots of board games out there that have never been played and never should.
Well, feel free to cut me off in case I do start to edge into...
I'm going
to
cut you off right there, Nick.
All right, perfect.
And I'm going to ask you to go ahead and tell me what you were trying to say.
I vaguely remember during this era, Mistdone actually released sent out an email that as soon as the lift came up, she said, get buck wild. And I was like, okay, like, Does that mean that we need to make a game about that? Do we need to do something about that? And then we did create a game called Buck Wild that featured the lovable character Uncle Buck and a lot of nudity, a lot of tasteful nudity, I would like to think. And, I mean, I don't actually remember whatever happened with that game. Is that still being made? Are people allowed to play Buck Wild?
Well, I'll tell you, we still have the legal copyright to Buck Wild, but it is not—it is not in development, nor was it ever released, because, as you know, Joseph Robinette Biden came in with the big steal, and he got that USDRB back up and running. So we're really just now. There's some thought that maybe in the future he will relax those restrictions, and extreme board gaming may become a very profitable business again in the future.
If he wants the younger vote, I think that's what he's going to need to do, honestly. We don't get political on this podcast often, if at all, but I think if I were to forecast something, that's what I would say. But in addition to that, I can understand why those restrictions are in place. It's not been ever confirmed to me, but I believe that the role that I took to get into this job, I'm pretty sure that the guy died. I don't think he quit or anything. No one has ever been able to confirm that. When I did go into, part of the actual offering package that I got still had that guy's name on it, as if it was just kind of reused. Now, so
this is not something that I keep track of in my department, but there have been rumors about some injuries and disappearances in the testing department. Some, you know, I've just heard.
Well, thank God we're not any of those folks.
No.
I think that's handled in the detective noir department, I think, somewhere around Patch Potch. They have a lot of, you know, PIs and sleuths kind of combing the halls and everything, making sure that everything's on the up and up.
Yeah, I believe Sam Magnum works down in that department.
Right. A great guy.
Hold on. Is this department combing and sleuthing the halls in search of, like, misbehaving employees? Or, like, are they searching for missing employees? Or, like, whose side are they sleuthing on is what I want to know.
It was my understanding that he's just on retainer, that you can kind of go visit his office if there's any mysteries about your job or coworkers that you need to have solved.
I see. Okay. So he's kind of like an HR person, but he's also, I assume, dressed like a detective.
But he definitely does not adhere to HR regulation. His office is riddled with cigarette smoke. I mean, it is just, it is a cloud in there. And I don't think he's allowed to do that. But I mean, who's going to investigate Sam Magnum? Sam Magnum? Yeah, we don't have another one.
I'll tell you what, I went in there one time, had a friendly little chat, and some of the magazines he keeps in his work desk drawer. boys, not HR approved.
Some might say Buck Wild.
Yeah, that's right. So, speaking of Buck Wild, there's some interesting history to Buck Wild. They took strip poker to a whole new level.
Well, that just goes hand in hand, I feel like. If anything, since we are talking, too, about how it's on retainer, so to speak, right now, I mean, we got that thing locked and loaded in the Disney vault for when the regulations and everything come down. We'll just flood the market. There's clearly a need or a demand for it. So we've got the supply. We just got to get it ready to go. We got to get it, you know, anticipate all of this demand for Buck Wild.
Yeah. I think if board game enthusiasts are demanding anything in today's climate, it's more vulnerability and sexual expression within their hobby. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't tell you how many times that on my walk home from work, there's a bunch of kids, they sit on the stoop, and that's all they talk about is how restrictive these board games are and how there's not enough graphic nudity on any of them anymore. Mm-hmm. And in fact, actually, you know, I think one of our last two board games that we came up, we had suggested that there'd be boobs on the box. So we've been kind of heading in that direction.
I love that song, by the way, Boobs on the Box. Boobs on the Box.
Yeah.
Yeah, by Megan Horserson.
Oh, yeah.
The up-and-coming rap artist, Boobs on the Box. I'm sorry, I interrupt.
I'm
a fan of the young kids' music.
I thought her name was Megan a la Horse.
It might be, you know. It might be.
But anyway, we're a board game podcast, and we come up with
board
games.
We sure are.
So, I mean, we've been kind of dancing around, obviously, this idea of legality and call it faux pas or taboos or something like that. What do you guys think of maybe coming up with, I don't know, maybe I know Taboo is already a game, but something that is called not Taboo.
Let's retake Taboo. Let's make Taboo 2.
I don't even know
how Taboo 1 works. Does anyone know how Taboo 1 works?
No, not really.
I think it is a game where it's kind of like the pyramid game where you're trying to get the person to say a word, but you can't say specific words also, or or something. I think it's like that. I could be completely off base, but that's why it's called, you know, quote unquote, Taboo, is because you can't say those specific words. So
I get the impression it's very much a game that's based around things you're not allowed to do.
Right.
Which is like, yeah, you're trying to give one person, I assume, is trying to give clues to another person to get them to say the thing that they're thinking.
Yeah, so
which doesn't feel that extreme for the word taboo.
No, I feel
like that could be cranked up to 11.
Taboo 2 would have people, you're only allowed to do things that you shouldn't do.
Taboo 1 is all about saying things.
Oh, I kind of like that. That you're basically given a list of prompts in different things, but I'm honestly imagining that, like, you're trying to get the person to, like, guess, like, I don't know, like, shit pants or something like that. But your words that you are given, that you are allowed to say, are, like, hot dog or, like, you know, running.
So you're just trying to get the other person to curse or something? Or
basically, but you are only allowed to say a very mundane list of words, and you have to kind of try and probably act out something using them only the mundane words in order to get them to say this naughty word.
I don't know. I mean, okay. So okay. Here's, I got
we're spitballing.
I know. Yeah, we are. Here's my thought. So while we were talking about, you know, dancing around the idea of like legality or all that kind of stuff, the thing that I picked up from the last 10 minutes of our conversation was that we don't have enough extreme games where people are playing on the ceiling. So if we went in that direction to the idea of the game would be appeal to the younger audience. What do they like? I think Fortnite's out these days.
Yeah.
You know, what
you mean out like out and about, or like out like it's over Fortnite. You're done.
It's over. I think what I'm getting at is that kids are clawing at for the next big thing that they can really wrap their hands on. And we need to come up with a board game that's got style. It's extreme. It's it's active.
Let me throw this out there. This is not the idea. I can't stress enough, this is not the idea. But let's imagine you take something like chess, like a very basic game, but you act it out. You got the big, big board where a human stands on each one. You give them real swords. You give them, it's about actually maiming and taking out your opponents. Sort of on this, and it's maybe a turn-based thing, or maybe we say we don't need turns, just go for it, just get in there and really go for it, you know. And that would not be legal by today's standards. And I will say that Patch Botch will, you know, we abide by all legal rules and regulations. But while we're thinking outside the box, blue sky.
I like this actually, Nick. I'm gonna let you. You didn't say anything, but hold on. What if this is Patch Potch's first attempt to get into making a sport? What if we make a sport for this episode?
A sport.
Yeah. Well, because you had said like gigantic arena. I was thinking of like I love the idea of being like human chess pieces and then everyone just like runs at each other.
Yeah.
But like, what if this was Patch Potch's first released sport? And of course, we would be making our money by selling all the equipment. And that's part of what we would do,
right? Instead of playing on a field, it's a large unfoldable board.
Yeah, exactly.
I was kind of gonna go take the upside down game and then add in, I guess, the combat sport aspect, and I would want to board gamify it. I know that you just said the sport, this would be going a different direction, but let me pitch this. Instead of a two-dimensional board, imagine this board game comes in a big box. I mean, like a huge cube. And then, but not big enough for a person to go inside. Instead, players have a little tiny man or a little tiny robot or a little tiny like person thing that they equip with the weapons. And then they go inside and they have different buttons and different options that they can choose and use to make the little man, you know, run forward, swing the sword, block with shield, like do whatever. But also this happens in three dimensions because the little men have like magnets in their shoes or something like that. So you can be running on the ceiling and you're battling, you know, the other person. I'm basically imagining the next version of like those robot battle shows that would happen on like Spike or something or whatever.
Yeah,
when those used to have Robot Rumble.
But BattleBots is still going BattleBots, on.
Yes,
BattleBots is still happening. I still get suggestions on my Instagram.
A smaller smaller sold version, or at least like at home version of that. Again, we can even go bigger with it and have like, you know, almost like mannequin sized game pieces that you would be using. But that way, then we could get, you know, all of the action and extremeness of chopping off someone's limb without actually having to chop off someone's limb.
I love it. Let me back up the conversation a little bit and talk
about what are the
limitations on a board game that make it not extreme. Size is one of them. Mm-hmm. Most board games you can play it on a table. What's more extreme? You need a big space. What about time? Most board games can be done in an evening, or at maximum it'll take you one day. What about a board game that stretches an entire lifetime?
Whoa.
What are the board games that happen in multiple cities at one time? A board game that requires space travel. I mean, there's just no limit to the kinds of things that we could theoretically do. I don't want to keep us in a space where there's just like no limits. We make some decisions at some point, but
right.
Super quick.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say super quick. I think that is perfect. The time and the space. Maybe I am thinking too small. This game isn't a box. This game is a coliseum. It's different cities get their own coliseums, and you show up as a contender with your battle bot mannequin thing or whatever, and then you fight and go head to head with someone, and it's almost just like a King of the Hill, last person standing, last person to quit. Like that wants to quit or whatever. It is continuous. If there is a line of people that stretches 40 miles, then you better be ready to fight for 40 miles worth of people in this Coliseum arena.
All right, let me get in here real quick.
Yeah,
Nick, if we're gonna be dedicating an entire Coliseum, where I'm assuming we're building like something along the lines of like a sports arena level amount of like, I don't know, building or whatever, why not have it so that the people are the robots themselves? Why not just make it the sport? Why not, you know,
inventing gladiators.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I do, we're getting to that point where,
well, okay.
and this is coming from me, I'm the one who's pushing us there in a lot of ways, but
no.
Let's throw in lions. Oh, let's fill the arena with water and have them on a boat.
That sounds awesome. Let me tell you. Actually, would you not watch that if that was offered in today's
time?
Instead of going to go see the Bears game, they filled up
of entertainment.
Yes. Why isn't Patch Podge getting on this money then? The people want it.
All right, I will say this.
So is this game now Gladiators 2?
I'm saying this is it's just a sport. We don't have to kill each other or anything like that. And I'm saying, if we're going to be going through all the effort of building a Coliseum, why not just have people play themselves? You know?
I
think it's a good point. Let me identify two things that I think are going to be really important for us as a company. You know, I go through our old IP and I see a couple of things that stand out. Characters that are legally protectable. You know, we can say that's our character, we made it. So if we can include a character of some kind, that's going to make sure that it's monetizable for us.
Oh, we always have some sort of crazy mascot that's included in,
yeah,
like 90% of the games that
Great.
We make.
Yeah,
any mechanics in the game and rule sets that are distinct in some way that don't just, so if it was just Last Man Standing, I mean, we're doing Battle Royale, we're just making Fortnite in a Coliseum.
Yeah, okay.
So I think if we can nail down a couple of specifics in there, then whatever we make is going to be something that can make us a little bit of money, and we can defend it in court if we need to.
I think I got it.
Okay, go for it, Nick.
I think I got it. All right. This is how we, one, create the arena, two, make it different from just watching a gladiator fight, and three, recoup some of the losses. So basically, it's instead of like, I guess you can fight other opponents, and it's more so trying to forcibly remove the person from the arena or the premises or whatever. But I'm honestly imagining just a board game slash real life labyrinth, and we can have characters like it's something equivalent to a minotaur chasing someone around in the labyrinth, and in these arenas there is a prize somewhere in there, and it's continuous. So this minotaur is on retainer to just basically live their life in the labyrinth defending the treasure, but the goal is for anyone to come in, you pay a fee obviously in order to play the game. You pay a fee, you go in, you navigate all our traps in the maze, in the minotaur, in, you know, obviously chasing you, any and all of the above, in order to get to that treasure that is in the middle or something like that. And then once that's done, they win, or someone gets whatever money is in the middle, and then reset, replay, another round of whatever we're going to end up calling it.
There's so much opportunity here to start bringing in celebrities and things. We say, this week only, Robert Pattinson is somewhere in the labyrinth. If you can get to him and physically carry him out, then you win the
prize.
You
get Robert Pattinson. Oh my God, that's so good.
You get Robert Pattinson. I don't know how we would pay for that. We would probably get like Robert Pattinson for like a day. Like maybe like you go out on a date. Unless you really legitimately want to do that.
On that day to go in, it costs $10,000. So, yeah. You know, you got a lot of people paying premium price to try and go in and get Robert Pattinson.
If you are able to seduce Robert Pattinson and convince him to leave with you and build a life with you.
Okay.
You know, that's...
Then you get him forever.
Then
that's
you
true.
Get to have him forever.
Now that part makes sense. Okay, as long as he's not being, like, forced against his will... Again, still trying to avoid the legal aspect.
Well, yeah, you know, we'll see how the laws pan out in the future. So maybe forcing against will would not be the kind of terminology we would be using in a couple of years.
Let's be real. If you're stuck in a labyrinth somewhere and some, you know, I don't know who they would be, but there's some hunk just comes in and carries you, probably princess carries you out. I mean, that's pretty,
that's convincing
right there.
Can I just throw in, even in... Maybe this is part of the whole board game as a whole. What if this is some sort of, like, dating? Like, I don't want to say, it's like a TV show. We're not going to broadcast this. But like, the new form of, like, Tinder. Where instead of swiping left and right, kids are done with that. They have to run through this maze. And then there's, like, many hallways where there's, like, a boy down or a girl or whoever it may be. Down a certain dead end, and after one person runs into them, then from there they make the choice of being like, do I want to stay with this person, or do I want to like keep navigating these tunnels? And then they make the choice from there. Basically, like, it's same sort of concept, huge labyrinth, people, but now instead of just Robert Pattinson, which he can still be involved.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's one of the things, is that there's Robert Pattinson, but also a bunch of randos inside this maze.
Yes. And some of them look like Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
We find the people that look as much like Robert Pattinson as possible. And if you can determine, after days inside the labyrinth, if you can still remember what Robert Pattinson, because you can't take your phone in there, you can remember what Robert Pattinson looks like well enough. You know, there's two Robert Pattinsons at the end of the hallway, and they say, the Robert Pattinson to my left always tells the truth. And the other one says, the Robert Pattinson to my right always lies. And then you have to figure out which is the real one.
Yeah, and that's really how you score the date. But basically what I'm getting at is that this is a dating sim labyrinth-like kind of thing where there's puzzles and traps and a hall of mirrors of Robert Pattinson. And you basically go in there, and then whoever you find, if you're comfortable with, after asking them some questions, then you leave, and then the rest of the board game is just normal life.
Amazing. I love it.
So first, ba-da-ba, I'm loving it. But just in question of, like, theming, is this labyrinth, is it spooky scary? Because personally,
for sure.
I don't want to... But, like, spooky scary, like, haunted house, or spooky scary, like, creepy... fantasy vibe, because personally I want to stay away from the haunted house vibe. I don't know why.
I think it needs to have three distinct levels, and they're all themed differently. Each one has at least one core challenge you have to complete, and I think if we can outline those things, we're off to the races.
Well, I gotta say, one level has to be very heavily themed after, like, Legend of the Hidden Temple, so, like, Luce Aztec jungle vibe. That's that one's going to be a lot of puzzles and physical challenges between like scaling walls and like putting together like different like idols and relics and stuff in order to get access into that. And then again, just like Legend of the Hidden Temple, we can have large masked men just come out and try to bear hug, you know, contestants and try to just basically, like I said, forcibly remove them. And then you got to pay to get back in, or at least I guess you're just that's the end of your run, is that you have been removed by the temple guardians.
Yeah, I tell you what, I think, and we can just tell the designers probably for that, like, imagine something Aztec-y and then do, and then draw it, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to, we don't need to do research, I guess is what I'm just saying. Sometimes I think about research and I go,
and that side. No, it's just a lot of extra work. Yeah.
We're in the creative department. We just say the ideas that come to mind, and that just gets sent to someone else to figure out.
That's such a relief.
We don't need to do any of that.
These temple guards should also probably look as close to Robert Pattinson as we can get.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, there is an overarching theme between all three layers, and that it is. This game might even be called like Robert Pattinson's like challenge or something like that, but. Yeah, I think as many things of iconography of Robert Pattinson that we can do, that'd be the best.
What's our core challenge in the Aztec Temple section of the game here? We need because we can have a physical challenge, we can have a mental strategic challenge, we could have I don't know. We're thinking extreme gaming. Is there a sexual challenge?
I think human sacrifice.
You have to sacrifice something. You have to give something away.
Spicy. That's good.
I do. Maybe that is actually, maybe the first part of it, we incorporate losing their phone. Maybe it's like, if you're willing to find love with Robert Pattinson, you throw your phone into like a furnace.
Oh, that is some spicy Mexican hot chocolate right there, my friend. I like that. We got a phone pit.
Yeah.
You got to throw it in the phone pit. And it's also, then you have to cross the bridge over the phone pit. And if you fall in, you get emojified. Just spitballing. I don't know what that means.
No, it's not bad. I think if you fall into the phone pit, which is going to be very, very dense, I think, I don't know, actually, what happens to a phone when it just, like, sits around for a while? I assume the battery's just dead. I mean, it probably hurts. When you fall.
It probably hurts. I think that maybe physical pain is all we need on this one.
Yeah. That's the punishment. It's just a big ouch.
It just hurts.
You got to get up and try again.
Yeah.
Well, at any point, if you are eliminated or taken out of our challenges, whether it be from failing one or, again, being forcibly removed, whatever it is, you have to pay to re-enter. That's how,
I'm thinking
costs here. I want to make sure that we're recouping this kind of mecca of board games that we are going to be creating.
I tell you what it could be is you've got to, sort of on the theme a little bit, you've got to dig through the phone pit trying to find something.
Oh, that's a great idea, actually. Oh, there should be something like a redemption. So if you don't make it across this wobbly bridge that I assume has like planks falling out from below it while you're also running across...
And then all of Robert Pattinson's movies are playing at the same time on the screen, really loud.
Yeah.
That's really good.
I think, there should be something. If you fall down in there, then you maybe you can, like, dig through and, like, maybe it is something along the lines of, like, all the phones are turned on, but they all have a lock thing on it, and if you're paying attention to certain clues inside of this labyrinth, then you would know the phone code to unlock a specific, like, golden
phone.
You
need to find the one that's ringing.
Okay, I like
unlock
that.
Unlock it and answer it.
Yep.
That's it.
And it's just, I'm Robert Pattinson. Continue.
Hi, I'm Robert Pattinson. You deserve to continue.
Yeah, I think that's great.
Okay, so because you said the phone, I just instantly went, I was like, that's like the start of, like, a Matrix. So maybe the next level, I'm talking, like, real physical stuff, like, you know... You get some airsoft guns or paintball guns or something like that, but the next level is very Matrixy themed.
Oh yeah,
all kinds of crazy.
It's a simulation.
Yeah,
It's all kind of a mind freak.
And this one should be a competitive against all other players that have made it to that level. First one is like solo. You're hunting for clues. You're looking for. You're avoiding these boogeymen that are jumping out, and then. Everyone that makes it to the second level, this Matrix one, that's when you're equipped with, like, an airsoft gun. And it's like, all right, now there's a bunch of people in here. You have to shoot them.
We let them think that what they have to do is shoot each other. But like the Matrix, what you're really supposed to do is go to a door that's marked exit employees only. Mm. And if you can figure out that the instructions are not the instructions, whoa, that you're living like in a simulation that's meant to distract you, and you can walk out of the building, then you've earned your way into the next level.
That's great.
Yeah, it's like if you have all these competitors in a room and you give them all a paintball gun, like someone's gonna be like, "Oh, well, we're supposed to shoot each other," but
No.
It's a test of your mental fortitude.
Yeah, it's just, can you take this paintball gun, leave the place you paid $1,000 to get into?
And that's actually the start of the next level.
And then that's the start of the next level. It's real simple to get to the next level. It's just that we don't tell anybody how to do it.
That's great. Oh, and the entire second level.
The entire second level looks like a paintball park, too. Like, it's got all of the obstacles and, like, cover and everything. Like, it looks like we're trying to get people to compete.
But, oh, yeah.
Yeah, the only clue is that there's some zeros and ones on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Oh, if they can read binary, then...
It says, leave now.
Yeah, it says, That's how you win. Yeah, go through the employee exit. That's the real way. It's a long binary code, I assume.
Yeah. It's probably a lot of characters.
Yeah.
All right, so level 3.
Okay.
Going to continue on the movies.
Recapping where we're at right now.
Yes.
So we have a solo challenge for level 1, a free-for-all challenge for level 2, and then level 3 I feel like should be something different than both of those, just so that it is. You were about to reference a movie challenge, Nick. What is your movie challenge?
So, since we're kind of... Since level 2 was that you had to, like... break through, or I guess the end of the challenge was that you had to go beyond this door and break through, I guess, kind of the expectation stuff. I'm getting heavy Truman Show vibes. So I think you go through the door and it's like, oh, hey, welcome back. They will think that they have left. They will think that they are out back outside of the Coliseum. But in reality, they are on a stage set that they cannot leave, or at least that people will be trying to prevent them to leave. But if they, again, have the fortitude to push through and say, no, I'm going to take this boat and sail it out, or however Truman Show ends, and go beyond and do something that people are telling me not to do, then they win. Then they finally win.
We've got 10 employees, and they're standing around on these little docks that just sort of look, they're little piers, there's little canoes, and all the employees are saying, hello, sailor, don't get in a boat. And they say that to every person that comes out, hello, sailor, don't get in a boat. And then if they get in the right boat, they have to choose the right one, and then they gotta row for a little while.
Oh, it's an endurance. I like that. It's not like
Does this feel enough like they've just entered their normal everyday life? I don't think so.
I think no.
I don't have the solution for this, but I think... Just a little caveat, I think what we should tell people when they go into this experience, that there are only 2 levels to this whole thing.
Yes.
So that should be part of the third challenge, is that we tell them there's only 2, and then when they get out, maybe it's not like, I like the idea that it's a bunch of employees, maybe they get out and they think it's like, it's a room that looks like the room that they first came into, but it's like all the employees, and they're basically like, cheers, like, great job, like, you did it, and then, like, they're like, now you can leave, and then it's just, like, the front door, and if they just leave, then that's, like, the end of the experience, where they think that they've won.
So, so in order to think that they've won, they need to find love in the labyrinth, I forgot about that part. So I think they walk out the door, and then there's 10 people there, and they say, take your pick, and they just get to choose a person, and that person goes with them to their house.
Yep.
And just lives there.
And then, I think actually what should happen is that they do go to their house, and then maybe after a romantic night, then they're like, actually, you didn't win. And then they just like they just get up and leave.
Yeah, like, they say, this isn't what you thought it was.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they zip up their pants and they go.
Yep, I love that.
Yeah, I love that. We'll have some training on how to do that. Let me throw this out there. This is just one that's coming to mind as a character from an old game that we used to have out in stores just for a very brief amount of time. A character that I love named Dr. Butt Scrubber, and he's a doctor who scrubs your butt. And
I thought that he would scrub his own butt.
Well, he's probably done
that. He's good at that too.
He's good at that too. But I say, you know, if you're the a good doctor would never scrub their own butt. They'd get another doctor to do it for them. You know.
Mm.
I wonder if there's any way to incorporate Dr. Butt Scrubber, because he's just burning a hole in our files. Like he's good property.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
I think this is his heel moment, and I think this is when he's the villain.
Yep.
And we have someone employed and in costume as Dr. Butt Scrubber, and I think that he is this kind of ever-present ghost that will, you know, track the players constantly, and if he gets in there and scrubs that butt, then you're out. That's like an automatic out. Yes, you do have to keep going in the levels, but it's you can't take forever to do every single one. There's this constant enemy that's again walking at a very leisurely pace. They're not like running after you, but it's just if that person ever gets you, then you're done.
Because I was thinking maybe Dr. Butt Scrubber is actively scrubbing the butt of Robert Pattinson or whoever you're trying to get to. But I like the idea of a very slow, plodding Dr. Butt Scrubber who just knows his way around and can walk at any time, at any pace he wants to, and he knows he's going to get that butt and scrub it.
Butt Scrubber can be found on every level. There's at least consistent Butt Scrubber. Right. Yeah, there's always one just sort of looming.
Yeah, we can have like one butt scrubber dressed up in whatever we think Aztec people would have looked like. Mm. We'll just decide what that would have been and dress up anybody we choose in that and have them walk around. And then in the Matrix level, the Dr. Butt Scrubber can be
Agent Smith for sure.
He'll wear the sunglasses and he'll say, "I'm gonna scrub your butt."
That is perfect. Do you want to be this character? Because it almost feels like you're kind of pitching yourself. Look,
I would be honored, but I think there would need to be an official casting. I would definitely throw my hat in the ring. I've scrubbed a butt or two in my day, just sort of a little, as an amateur doctor.
You've already made the callback.
You're doing so well. You could even be in charge of casting if you wanted to. Now that I feel like you know.
Well, it feels like there's a butt scrubbing legion.
There's got to be a lot.
Yeah, it's like just like how there's like a panel of doctors that are like, I don't know, whatever that panel is that rules over all the health choices that we make. There should be like a master butt scrubber employs all these doctoral butt scrubbing people.
That's Dr. Butt Scrubber PhD. He's an MD and he has a doctorate in the theoreticals of it.
In the gluteus. Yes. In the gluteal studies.
The gluteal...
Gluteal hygiene. That's his official...
Gluteal scrubology.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, there we go. That's really good. That's his degree that's hanging somewhere within the maze, and that's like a little like bonus that if you can grab that...
Oh, I love that. Yes. Oh, this is so great.
If you can steal his degree
then
throughout
you can
your travels...
You can incorporate like disguises and like pretend to be a butt scrubber at some point, and then like...
People are going to get word, and they're going to come in character. It's going to be basically cosplaying to go into the thing. I mean, I personally don't think there should be any rules on what people wear while they are inside.
Oh, no.
Game.
Do you know what
X,
this sounds like?
Name yet. Go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we haven't named the game, but have you ever played the video game? It's like, it's like Agent 47. What is that one? Where Hitman. You know what this sounds like?
Oh, yeah,
like?
Hitman.
We should definitely like incorporate. I know it's like we're 40 minutes into this, but like if we had some sort of way to incorporate like Hitman aspects where like you can like
miscellaneous and minor challenges
throughout or like
different
things. You could like take out an employee, not like kill them, but like then you have the opportunity to like you could put on their clothes.
Oh,
and then you could like pretend to be an employee inside this place.
If you can incapacitate one of our employees, feel free to do so and take whatever game benefit you can extract from that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they may have items on them that would like help you. They might have like a key card then that can give you access to another thing.
That's a great
idea. This is basically kind of like what that whole video game was, where you're like told to find one person. I assume Robert Pattinson and Hitman, and you had an entire labyrinth at your disposal maybe this whole thing is set up that you can enter in at any place. Like, you can enter in at the Matrix level for the first, like, section of it. You don't know which way's up. You have no idea which way Robert Pattinson even is.
Yeah, we give them rules, but we don't tell them you can break them. It's you know, it's kind of, it's the purge in there. If you can get it done, then more power to you.
Robert Pattinson will only love someone who breaks the rules.
That's right.
That's the first rule.
I will say this. I'm okay with someone somehow getting in at level 2, and I'm like, you know, imagining this is obviously higher on the story of the building, but I mean, I want like maximum security so that like, if you're gonna cheat, you gotta be really, really, really good about it. Like, you gotta be a professional if you're gonna get away with this. I don't want anybody to be able to be like, oh, I figured out that there's like, you can put like a rock in the back door and then you go up the stairwell and then you're like up at level 2 already. Like, no, I don't want that. I want this to be an extremely challenging thing. Like, I want a person to win maybe like once every 5 years, something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh shit. Well, Robert Pattinson is not gonna marry everyone.
Not at all.
We'll have to get a different celebrity then.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Oh, here's one thing that I want to say. I know that we're like super deep into this concept of like different levels and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to throw this out there, and we can just shoot it down if we want to. Because I know that we've pretty much solidified how this whole thing goes, but like, what if we set this thing up so that we already have this arena, but it basically looks like a giant manor, or like a giant castle more or less, and you can go into any one of these rooms that you want to, or you can traverse the hallways any way that you want to. Maybe this is like a bed and breakfast and we host people and they legitimately like stay there for like a week or something like that trying to find Robert Pattinson. But you could stumble upon any of these rooms at any time.
Oh, so more of an open world concept.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. I would be okay with that if they still had to do all of the challenges or cheat their way to the last challenge, because I don't want them to stumble into the choose your fake winner.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, I want that to be at least behind some lock and key.
Yeah, you would still need to go into the Matrix room at some point and then know that you're not supposed to shoot anyone, you're just supposed to leave. Then you, like, get a prize for that. Like, there are still things that you have to complete within each one of the rooms. But this whole thing of just, like, there's employees around that you can knock out, there's, like, secret doors, there's, like, no sort of real ending. You are told that you won, but you are instead sent to walk away with, like, a Robert Pattinson lookalike who then, like, melts to the floor as soon as you get home, and that's when you realize that you've lost. I want this whole thing to be so confusing and complex, and you have no idea which way's up or down or whatever the hell you're doing in this whole place.
We're gonna have some work to do if we want to make this complex. Yeah, as far as the name goes, I think we gotta just stick with Taboo 2. I don't think there's a better name for what we're doing here than Taboo 2.
We have definitely had board games where we've pitched like, do we just call this Pickleball 2? I think that this game is extreme enough to stand on its own, to have its
like
own
regular name.
Yeah, oh, okay. I All right, think.
Okay.
I think
something
that,
like the Gauntlet or something.
Well, the Gauntlet's good, but like, what if we gave like even through like a red herring, even at just with the name alone, and we called this like Celebrity Crush Challenge or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Or like it's like people look at it up online, they're like, oh, I have a celebrity crush. Like, yeah, I
to,
wanna.
We'd yeah, have to ahead. We'd have to change the name based off of whoever's in there. But I did say earlier, Robert Labyrinthson.
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you say that? That's amazing, actually.
I did say that.
Oh, I missed that. I would have said something at the time.
How do you feel about that?
Robert Labyrinthson is really good, I will say. That's a very strong name. And yeah, maybe we can like come up with something else for like, I don't know, the next superstar that comes in. Like,
I just Billy feel like, let's
just be honest, guys. I mean, it's been Robert Pattinson from the go. And it's gonna stay Robert Pattinson. Who else can you even imagine in this game? At this point, if it's not Robert Pattinson, we might as well just be playing pickleball.
So maybe this game exists until there is a winner, and then that's it, and then it's gone. forever.
And then the whole thing explodes. I like this.
It doesn't explode. It crumbles. It falls in. It implodes.
with employees inside and all.
Unless they can get out, then they'll be fine. But yeah, you better hope you're not in the middle of it.
I think as an employee, you don't know if you're playing or not.
Oh man,
maybe
man.
We don't know.
That is a whole other wrinkle to.
Is one of you playing the game already?
No, I'm not playing. No, I
don't think I'm playing.
No, I don't think I'm playing.
I'm pretty sure I'm not playing, but I don't know if I trust you guys anymore.
Regardless of who it may be playing or not, I love the idea of us hiring people. But like, if they're reading their like their instructions or like their first like opening manual or whatever, it does say within like their employee packet that nobody reads that like they are also in search of Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, exactly. They're also trying to play the game.
Yeah. This is great. I think we basically
have created the Truman Show.
Honestly, yeah. I think we keep the name Robert Labyrinthson. The only thing I was thinking is at the very beginning when we were talking about this is that when I heard Labyrinth, I thought of David Bowie, rest his soul.
The ghost. We can get the ghost of David Bowie though, probably.
If we can, that would be great. Only because I did love the movie The Labyrinth, and if we can also incorporate goblins of some kind and a lot of crotch shots within this whole thing.
Well, that's a given. I feel okay. Like at this point. Okay.
Great. I mean, yeah, I think this is a. I think this is a great game.
I think just to sprinkle that in again, and I do like the idea that we are playing on what originally was Taboo 2. I think, you know, yeah, there's like, you know, all kinds of exotic dancers and, you know, different alluring things all throughout. So like, not only is this a little bit of like, you know, that kind of scary, weird, trippy vibe, but also, you know, things of things you cannot touch but you want to, and they're trying to entice you away.
Yeah.
Like a
Vanity Fair from the Pilgrim's Progress. As our players begin to walk past all these side passageways, there's so many pleasures of the flesh that could distract them from
there's
the search
boobs
of
and
their,
wieners.
There's
for sure.
There's boobs and wieners on the box and in the box. And if you can, there's a hookah lounge off to the side with Robert Pattinson lookalikes with big obvious mustaches on. But you kind of think, well, that's pretty close.
It's close enough.
Even the hookah pipe part, it's just Robert Pattinson's lips. So you get to put your lips right up to that and inhale.
Don't threaten me with a good time.
Okay.
And it's called Robert's breath.
Now, did we decide on the third layer? Did we decide on the third layer?
Oh, I mean,
it's kind of that like that's what I think it should be. I think all of those things should definitely be in the third layer where it's just like, welcome, you've made it to, you know, the ultimate pleasure area. Take your pick of any of these things, and if they indulge either too much or maybe if they do eventually say, oh, I'm gonna leave with this person, like I totally forgot about Robert Pattinson, then they walk away and they did not find Robert Pattinson, they lose.
If someone shows up in the third area and says, I have made it this far, I demand to see Robert Pattinson immediately, I will be swayed by nothing and distracted by naught, then Robert Pattinson can emerge from the crowd and he's there and he says, you have proven that you have a true heart.
And there would be
to really make it difficult. I will say this. I think they need to say that for a day straight. They need to say, I have come for Robert Pattinson, and then someone will be like, okay, great. Like, we don't know where he is. And then you have to know to stand your ground and say, nope, come for Robert Pattinson.
And there will be many Robert Pattinsons being offered every single time that he says that. Single time
so
that person says it, they will be offered another one. And it'll just be like a rotating cast. And there will be clues and some evidence. If you knock out a few employees, maybe they'll know that you have to proclaim your love for Robert Pattinson for 24 hours.
Yeah. And you can't fall asleep either. You have to be...
You can't fall asleep.
Up.
You can't say any other words. It has to be... No. Yeah. You have to be dead set on only this goal for the full 24 hours.
That's the taboo part. That's the taboo part, is that you have to only say those certain words.
Yeah, you get a card that says reverse taboo, and that's it.
These are your words.
It says now is the time to play Taboo 2, and if you've been paying attention, if you know what that means, you're like, I know. And then you stand there for 24 hours as a bunch of boobies and wieners pass you by.
I demand to see Robert Pattinson. I demand to see Robert Pattinson. And that's it.
And if we have any other celebrities that can also make their way, be like, maybe not Robert Pattinson, but why not Billie Eilish? And then if they say it again, then we sweep Billie Eilish to the side. And then it's like, yeah, why not this next person? You know, that's the make
You're
or break
cut
for
out
any
for
player.
Robert Pattinson. Uh-huh. Settle for someone else.
Dr. Butt Scrubber can come
Dr. Butt Scrubber.
In a lacy little number.
What if he's what if he's also coming around trying to scrub your butt, and this player also has to walk around avoiding Dr. Butt Scrubber for 24 hours while he's like professing this?
If you indulge in human needs and or pleasures, or get your butt scrubbed at any time, you are no longer eligible.
you're out. Sorry. Better luck next time. Perfect game. Brian, the other thing that we try to up with is every single one of our games has, and games in general, they just have a rule to say, like, who goes first. And it can be, like, a variety of things that we come up with in terms of, like, we want to stay away from, like, the youngest player goes first, because that's boring and out.
Yeah, and that would be impossible, because the youngest player, I mean, for me, the player base is the entire world. The youngest player is changing just about every second, every minute that goes by.
But that's just to give you, like, a ground rule in terms of, like, the kind of things that we're doing. Yeah. Although there isn't really a first, because I imagine people are constantly rotating in and out of this labyrinth that we have. But maybe we do give some sort of special advantage to the first people that sign up to go participate. Because I'm imagining, based on the price and the cost of all this, we're going to have to sell this as if it was like the Fyre Festival. Like, we're going to have to get influencers on board. We're going to have to make a huge social media. We're going to have to get Kim Kardashian to say, like, I'm going there and doing that. Like, we're
going
to need...
I'm going for Robert Labyrinthson.
Yeah, I'm playing Robert Labyrinthson this summer, and you should too.
I think that's the rule, isn't it? I think it is. If you are Kim Kardashian, you get to go first. And if you're not, then you don't go first. Roll a dice or something.
So this is the way that I was going to say, okay, so I love that, yeah, Kim Kardashian goes first. If she wants to go first, she goes first.
Yeah. If not available, then what?
Then I think... Because it is in the format of a continuous, just open-ended experience. There's no turns or anything in this game. I think we need to come up with a rule, though, for instances of potential tiebreakers or something. Oh. Like, whether that be, like, a showdown. Oh, wait. Here we go. Tiebreaker. Ready? It is almost like, have you guys ever seen that like knife duel, like that, like, was like in history, where it would be like two people have their wrists tied together and they're both holding a knife, and it's you try to stab the person. It's like, I think it was like big on like pirate ships or something like that, like that, like you would tie the
pirates
the wrist together
that.
And I don't know, maybe
that was like Fortnite.
Total
Fortnite.
Shot in the
back
dark.
Then it was all the pirates were doing that.
Yeah, that was game there. Of chest stab.
Yeah.
But okay. Here we go. Here's a tiebreaker. That exact thing, but they're holding butt scrubbers, and whoever can scrub the other person's butt first, they eliminate 100%. That person.
Yep. That's
Yep. They bind their hands together. We bind one butt cheek of each person to the other. And if you can wrap
side
it around,
by side.
Yeah, sort of a side by side, if you can get back around there.
This is a test of strength and dexterity, mm-hmm. and just your overall agility. Maybe you're trying even to fake out the other person. You're just like, oh, hold on a sec. I got to tie my shoe. Oh, what's that? I just scrubbed your butt.
Oh, what's that over there? Robert Pattinson says he chooses me. I scrubbed your butt.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, what's this behind my head? A butt scrubber. I'm scrubbing it with my neck now.
Okay.
How about that?
Yep. Oh, that could be a thing to... I mean, that could be a thing as well, where it's like, maybe you can collect butt scrubbers while you're inside here, and you can also get other players out.
Is there an in-game currency?
Oh, maybe?
Yeah, butt scrubbers. Yeah.
In-game currency, we got butt scrubbers. You can,
We can add in microtransactions. Yeah, There's a little store that... Oh,
that's what this game has been missing this whole time.
Really, it has, yeah.
Microtransactions.
Yeah.
Well, that'll get the kids in, because they love microtransactions.
Yeah, give me a loot box any day.
Oh, yeah. Loot boxes are in this place for sure. For sure. Cool.
This game rules.
This is a great game.
I love it.
I know that we said that this should be played on in multiple cities. I think this is just in one city, and everyone just flocks to it.
Yeah.
We buy, like, a warehouse in the middle of, like, off of, like, a highway or something like that.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. Why are we buying something when this million-dollar idea, much like how the World Cup in cities bid for it from FIFA, I think cities should be bidding for us to be there.
Yeah. Right. No, you're, that's smart. I didn't even think about that.
Bids from cities worldwide.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe we can get the Olympics involved in this. Maybe they'll include this as an Olympic sport.
I think it is.
And the best part about this is that it's persistent, so we're not going to be making these Olympic coliseums and stuff and then abandoning them like you see in those videos. No, this thing is going on until it's over. It is. It's just right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, until someone wins or Robert Pattinson dies, this game continues.
Uh-huh. And I will say that if you listen to this podcast episode, you are allowed to play, but we're going to be changing everything in the game so that you don't get any secret hints.
I think you get assigned one employee who's there to just follow you around and mess things up for you.
Yeah.
And you've got to contend with that.
This is like one of many rooms and stations that, you know, we came up with three. Obviously, you now know how to get... You know, actually, you know what? I take that back. If you listen to this episode, you get that unfair advantage.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
A little reward for you.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what I was thinking before. You know how to find love with Robert Pattinson now.
And that's the thing, is that just because you know how to do it doesn't mean that it won't be a grueling challenge.
Oh,
you know?
No, yeah. Absolutely.
It's still tough as hell.
Yes.
And keep this information secret. Don't tell anyone else where you heard this.
Yeah.
Unless you want to
end up losing Robert Pattinson.
Or unless you want to review this podcast and also like tell other friends about it. So that's also another way that you can tell them. So
I think, yeah, if you can show us that you told three friends about the podcast, you get a couple of free butt scrubbers and a loot box.
Yeah, the microtransaction. Yep, that's how we got to tie this in.
Yeah. Give them little assignments to do to win some in-game currency.
Cool. Well,
thank you so much, everyone, for listening. Yeah, we have been Miss Dunn Needs More Games over here at Patch Potch. You can find us on Twitter at PatchPotchRND. And for any professional inquiries, you can contact us at Gmail. It's PatchPotch LLC. Sorry. And to spell that out, it is PATCHPOTCH. Anything else? Housekeeping.
No. I mean, I think you said the two things that you can find us on, so that's about all I can think of.
And I know we did kind of say it, like, squeeze it in there at the end of the game, but do review us. Tell your friends about us. You can tell, you know what, if you're really, really concerned about getting that edge up, you can tell them to listen to every single episode, and if you really want, I mean, it will hurt our feelings, but you can just be like, oh, but don't listen to Robert Labrinson. It's not a good one, but we'll know. We'll know that you little devil.
Yeah. Seriously. And if you liked what you heard, be sure to get at us on Twitter. Send us any suggestions that you may have. As you can tell, we are up for any challenge. We will literally talk about anything. We will make up any board game that you want. Maybe even next time...
We can do it.
We can do it. Maybe the next time we might actually even make a game with the board. Who's to say? I know that we've done that for the last, like, 28 episodes, but, you know...
Gotta shake it up every now and again.
Gotta shake it up every now and then, so... Anyways...
Brian, do you...
Do you have anything to plug, Brian?
No. I mean, if you want to get at me on any social media, you could just put in my name, Brian Huther, Huther. And I want to thank you gentlemen for letting me get up on here to share my knowledge of Patch Potch history and talk about some extreme board gaming.
Absolutely. We appreciate it. It's really nice to reinvigorate and get back into the, you know... the dark recesses of board gaming that some people just don't know. And,
I mean,
most
of us got into board gaming because we had a love of vague, mind-bending labyrinths. And we lose that in all the boards and the games of
mm-hmm.
it all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sorry was my first experience of going around a labyrinth and also feeling the anxiety and stress of getting out.
Yeah.
So I think we just need to I'm glad that we came up with this game to recreate that feeling in real time.
I fell in love with board games when I watched Twilight New Moon. And since that point, you know, nothing else has quite scratched that same itch. But
yeah.
I love the board games nonetheless.
just watched Twilight New Moon and just instantly thought, I gotta get my hands on that guy.
You know, and I'm happy to be part of the company. I'm happy to be part of the company that is going to be the premier Robert Pattinson board game company. No other board game company can claim that, and I'm happy to be here, so yeah.
Perfect.
Make sure you follow everyone's socials.
Yeah, there we go. Any sign-off you two are thinking? We don't have an official one, Brian, so if you would like to, as our guest, to give us a last phrase or word to end on, feel free.
Yeah, absolutely. We look forward to seeing you in the labyrinth. The game has begun.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.